I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you once again in the house of the Lord. And once again, I want to ask you, are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Yes, every Lord's Day we must be very, very eager to come to the house of the Lord. This is the place where we come to worship the one true living God. And we must all be very, very thankful that we can have this opportunity to worship Him. Not everybody in the world has this kind of freedom to come to worship the Lord so freely and in such a nice environment also. Thank God for this privilege that He has given to us. And when we come into the house of the Lord, let us always remind ourselves that we are here to worship Him, we are here to glorify His holy name, and we are here to witness to the truth that our Savior is the living Savior. And we have this living Savior in our hearts. Always remember that. Now this morning we go on to the 8th Beatitude. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We have covered already the previous 7 Beatitudes, which are: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And this morning it is, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, we are supposed to have all these characteristics, the characteristics that are taught in the Beatitudes. Then we ask this question, how can a man have all these characteristics? Now, if he has them, then he must be some kind of a special saint that is featured on some stained glasses, right? But dear friends, these are the characteristics that the Lord wants us to have. They are characteristics of a normal Christian life. Now, the reason why we think that these characteristics are abnormal is because we are abnormal. We are subnormal. Yes. Now, if we are normal, we must have these characteristics because our God is perfect and He wants us to have these perfect characteristics. Now, it's true. While we live on this earth, while we have this earthly life, we are still not perfect. And we will not be perfect until the day we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, when we shall be like Him. And that is true. But friends, the most comforting truth that we have today, in spite of the fact that we are not perfect yet, is that if we are genuinely poor in spirit, as taught by in the Beatitudes, if we genuinely mourn over our sins, if we genuinely are meek enough to hunger and to thirst after God's righteousness, my dear friends, God has practically extended to us His mercy, and He has saved us. And that's the truth. And it is true, the step that we took might be a small one, but the truth is, it was a great, great leap forward. For we have been translated from the darkness of sin into the marvelous light of the glorious kingdom of God. And that is true. How wonderful it is that this God of ours is so merciful to us. Now, if the step we took was genuine, however small it was, in time, my dear friends, we must make good progress to show that we are indeed growing in the faith. And that must happen. If the little step that we took to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ was something that was true, something that was genuine, and the characteristics reflected by the Beatitudes must become more and more evident in our life. If the step we took to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in the first instance was genuine. And one truth must become clearer and clearer as we grow in our Christian faith is that we will realize that we are actually walking on a very narrow road, called the straight and narrow road. It is called the Calvary Road, my dear friends, and it is not an easy road, as the song goes. It says, it is not an easy road. Many are the thorns on the way. There are trials and troubles. Many are the dangers. We are often footsore and weary, bowed down with care. No, it's not an easy road, but Jesus walks beside me and brightens the journey and lightens every load. That we must discover, friends, as we grow in our Christian faith, that we are actually walking on this straight and narrow road. Then we'll find that as we walk along this Christian road, we are to be peacemakers. Yes, we want to be peacemakers, but often we end up being troublemakers. Isn't it true? You try to give the gospel to people, you try to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the end, you stir up a lot of trouble. You become a troublemaker. And then we want to show mercy to people and to sow the gospel seed. We end up being persecuted. You see, the truth is, this world, dominated by Satan, dominated by sin, simply cannot handle a Christian who is observing or showing forth the characteristics of the Beatitudes. And that's the truth. The world cannot handle such a person. Yes, the world dominated by Satan and sin cannot handle such a person. The world dominated by Satan and by sin cannot handle a person who is truly one who is poor in spirit. It cannot handle a person who is truly mourning over his sins. It cannot handle a person who is meek, a person who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, a person who is merciful, and a person who is pure in heart, and a person who is a peacemaker. The world cannot handle such a person, and the world must persecute him. Yes, the world has to do that to such a person. Our Lord has told us about this persecution. And he says in John 16:33, let's turn to this verse, John 16:33, members of the church, please help our friends to turn to John 16:33, the world cannot handle such a person who truly shows forth the characteristics of the Beatitudes. Yes, the world must persecute him. And the Lord has told us about this persecution. John 16:33. I read this for you. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have what? Tribulation, you see. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that's the truth. And he says to us in this Beatitude, Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and shall persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. This morning I want to ask four questions. The first one is, what is persecution? Number two, why must there be persecution? Number three, what type of persecution makes a man blessed or a man blessed? And how should we respond to persecution? So four questions this morning. Now, what is persecution? Now, to persecute means to pursue, to drive away, to harass, and to treat with evil actions and with evil words. And that's what persecution is. Yes, if people are persecuting other people, they will be harassing them, they will be treating them with evil words and with evil actions. The Beatitude, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, like the other Beatitudes, is actually an attitude. This Beatitude, like all other Beatitudes, is an attitude. It is the attitude of being willing to be persecuted. Yes? If you have this characteristic of this Beatitude, you will be willing to be persecuted. And then you will be fearless. You will say that I want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be bold for Him. And you will tell the Lord, because you are willing to be persecuted, you will tell the Lord, you will say to the Lord, Lord, I will be in this world what you want me to be. And I will do and I will say what you want me to do and say. And if persecution should come my way, so be it. And that's what you will say to the Lord. If you have, you are showing forth this characteristic and you have this, the attitude of this beatitude. Now persecution comes in two forms. They can be verbal and they can be physical. Now the persecution that the evil heart of man dreams up against Christians, I can tell you, is simply horrendous, or has been very, very horrendous and very, very sadistic. Really very, very sadistic. During the time of the Romans would throw the Christians in those days into the arena to feed lions. And this was done as an entertainment to the persecutors and to those Roman spectators in those days. And what about Emperor Nero? Emperor Nero was noted for his sadism. Yes, he persecuted Christians, and what he would do is he would put pitch. He would cover Christians with pitch in those days. And then he would light the pitch up and use those human beings as torches. Human torches to light up his garden parties. Think about that. How sadistic can people be? And that was how they treated Christians in those days. That was how they persecuted Christians. And then we must have heard of Christians being persecuted by means of molten lead being poured on them. And that many were seared with hot metal plates. And then there were those who were... Nero did this. Yes, he would sew this skin of wild animals on the body of Christians. And then he would set his hunting dogs on them. Can you imagine that? And of course the hunting dogs would tear the Christians to pieces. And that's what he would do in those days. And haven't we heard of Christians having their eyes gouged out, and then all their bodies, their parts, body parts cut off from their bodies, and then burnt before them. Think of that. And think of the many people who died at the stake. Yes, persecuted by the Roman Church in those days, and they died at the stake. Now today, of course, we don't see such persecutions in a country like Australia. But surely today persecution can come in other forms. In the office, the Christian might not be promoted. Why? He might not be promoted because of his faith, because he is true to the Lord. And then the boss will look at him and say, this guy is just too meek, too gentle, too honest to be promoted to be a key marketing man. And so he doesn't get a promotion. Or let's say the Christian is very, very observant of the Lord's Day. And the company may say, this Christian is not willing to work on Sunday, and therefore we are not going to promote him. Now we get persecutions of this type today in the office. And we do. Now, then of course, a Christian in the office who is true to the Lord might not want to associate with the boys after office hours. So they don't want to go to the pub. And because they don't want to go to the pub with them, they get isolated and also get persecuted. Laughed at, scorned at, despised by their colleagues. Then in regards to verbal persecution, the Lord says, man shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now what is meant by to revile? To revile means to torment with words. Yes, you use words to torment people. Yes, to irritate people, to get people angry, to torture them with words. And you remember how the Jews tormented our Lord Jesus Christ while he was hanging on the cross. They said, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross, save yourself. And remember the chief priests, the scribes and the elders, they mocked him. And they said, if he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. Yes, they mocked him, they reviled the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, is there violence, reviling in some homes? I say yes, particularly in Asian homes, when certain members of the home become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they get reviled in the home. Father might say to the children, yes, who have become believers, oh, now you have become a believer, right? I'm going to disown you, and I'm going to withdraw all the support from you, and see if your God can help you. Do we not hear of such occurrences? I'm sure we must have heard of that, this kind of occurrences. I remember when my brother and I first became believers, my father was, of course, very, very angry with us. And there were many occasions when he reviled us. He tormented us with words. And he would say this to us, "You are Chinese. You have degraded yourself by calling a Jordi father." You know what a Jordi is? A Jordi is a Jew, all right? Yeah, that was the colloquial term that was made use of in Singapore and Malaysia in those days. Yes, if you were a Jew, you would be referred to as a Jordi. But of course, in that particular instance that I was talking about with regards to my father, he was, of course, talking about Jesus Christ. So you have now recognized Jesus Christ as your father. Yes. Now, the word Jordi is not a complimentary term. It is something that is derogatory. So if you were referred to as a Jordi, it is not something to your favor. Right? It means that you are stingy, you are miserly, you are crooked, you are a swindler, and so forth. That's what is meant by a Jordi. Now, persecution through the tongue can also come in the form of slander. The believers in the early church were slandered. You know, the Romans charges that the Christians in those days were cannibals. Yes, they said they were cannibals. You know why they said they were cannibals? Actually, what they did was they twisted the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, there was the occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in me." Remember that? And so they twisted the people in those days, the Romans twisted the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord in that context was talking about not literally eating his flesh or literally drinking his blood. He was talking about true belief in him. If you have truly believed in him, if you have received him, you would have life in you. That was what the Lord said. Yes, but the Romans twisted his words and said that, you see, look at those Christians. they are eating up one another. They are cannibals. So you see, it was ridiculous, but that was how mean and evil the slander against Christians could be. And in fact, the Christians in the early church were accused of being arsonists. They were accused of setting fires. And they were accused of setting fires on the city of Rome. And they were accused of such misdeeds. Now, we should not be surprised, my dear friends, if we are ever slandered for our belief. For did not the Lord Jesus Christ say, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, and shall persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake"? The Lord himself was surely falsely evil spoken of. Yes, you remember when the Lord cast out demons, what did the Jews accuse him of? The scribes and the Pharisees, they accused him of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. Remember that? The chief of the devils, the prince of the devils. And that was how they slandered the Lord Jesus Christ. And they accused him of being sacrilegious. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ one time said, "If you destroy this temple, I will raise it up in 3 days." He was not talking about the physical temple of Jerusalem, but the Jews accused him of tearing down the temple of Jerusalem and then building up in 3 days. The Lord Jesus Christ was in fact talking about his own body. "You destroy this body, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." Friends, have you been slandered because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever been? Now, if it has happened, if it has happened to you, or if it should happen someday, don't be surprised. Expect it. Yes, the Lord has already told us that we will be persecuted. Now, why must there be persecution against Christians? Why? Now, before I answer this question, I think the more pertinent question for us to answer is, why aren't Christians persecuted today as they should be persecuted? Why aren't we persecuted? People say that Christians today are not persecuted because we are living in a more enlightened society today. People are more educated, therefore people are more tolerant, and so there is no persecution. Some truth in that, perhaps. But the truth may be that we Christians have lowered our moral standards to such an extent that they fall far, far below the standards set by the Beatitudes, that people do not see a difference between us and people in the world. They don't see that. We are not seen as spiritual beggars. Do people see you as spiritual beggars, poor in spirit? Do they? Do they see us as people who will mourn over our sins? Do they see us as people who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Do they see us as people who desire to have purity in hearts? Do they see us as peacemakers? My dear friends, the truth is they don't see. You know why? We do not create spiritual waves. So people don't see any difference between us and people in the world. So how are they going to persecute us? They won't. Friends, they won't, because there is no difference between us and people in the world. And then again, we may plan our lives. We plan our lives so that we can escape persecution. Can we really do that? Can we really plan our lives to escape persecution? The answer is yes, we can, of course. Simply approve the standards of the world. You approve the standards of the world. Fit in. Laugh at their jokes. When they crack dirty jokes, laugh with them. Yes? And then use the same kind of verbal and the body languages of the world. And let people take the Lord's name in vain. And we ourselves, let ourselves take the Lord's name in vain. And don't tell people that they are lost. Yes? Don't stir up the hornet's nest. Don't tell them that they are lost. Don't tell them they are lost. Don't tell them that they need to be saved. Don't tell them about sin. Don't tell them about hell. Don't tell them about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't tell them that they need a Savior. You don't do all these things, I guarantee you 100% that you will never be persecuted. You believe me? You never will. Friends, there is yet another possibility as why we are not persecuted. The reason is we don't qualify to be persecuted. That's why we are not persecuted. We are not persecuted because we are not citizens of heaven. Remember, the Lord says, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, if we are not citizens of heaven, we can never, ever be persecuted. And if we are indeed citizens of heaven, persecution is part and parcel of our lives. Yes, we must expect it. Not all the time, perhaps, in a country like Australia, but surely there must be occasions in your life, if you confess that you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you will be persecuted because you believe in the one true living God. You believe in Jesus Christ. Now, why must there be persecution? First, let us understand. It is God's appointment that we be persecuted. Did you hear that? We have been appointed to be persecuted. When the Christians at Thessalonica were discouraged because of the persecution that came upon them, Paul wrote to them, and he said this to them. I'd like us to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. First Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. Verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are what? Appointed unto afflictions. In other words, we have been appointed to be persecuted. Yes, it is true, it is God's will that we be saved. Now that's true. Now it is also God's will, my dear friends, that we be persecuted. It is by design, my dear friends, that we are saved, and it's also by His design that we will be persecuted. Friends, let us never forget that the Lord Jesus Christ told us this. He said, take up your cross and follow me. And what is a cross a symbol of? Now the cross is of course a symbol of death and a symbol of sufferings. Now if we are following the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, for sure we will be appointed unto persecution. Now persecution must come simply because we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord has said it very, very clearly in John chapter 15. I'd like us to turn to John chapter 15 and look at verses 18 to 21. John chapter 15, 18 to 21. All right, let's read this three verses together, four verses together. Go. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would have loved its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Friends, the world will persecute us because we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world hates the life, the Christian life that we are living. But more accurately, friends, the world hates the Lord Jesus Christ who is in us. That is why we are persecuted. Now sometimes persecution is necessary to see what kind of stuff we are made of, what kind of spiritual stuff we are made of. It is to test the genuineness of our faith, our genuineness in following the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the parable told by the Lord about the sower. The sower went out to sow, and he sowed his seeds on four different types of ground. Remember that? The wayside, then the stony ground that has got very little soil, and then the third kind of ground was the thorny ground. And then the fourth type of ground is, of course, good ground. It brings forth manifold fruits. But the second type of ground, which the Lord Jesus Christ talks about, is the type that has got very shallow soil. The root is not deep. The root doesn't go deeply into the ground because the soil is shallow. And so when the sun comes out, the sun scorches the plants. Yes, this part of the parable is with reference to those who hear the word of God. And they are very, very thrilled, very excited, very moved by the word of God. And but when persecution and tribulation come, what happened? They fizzle out. Friends, they wither. Their testimony disappears, their witness also disappears. In prosperity and with religious freedom, it is very easy for us to confess Christ. Isn't it true? Today it is easy for us to confess Christ. Easy for me to stand up here to preach to you. Why? Because there is no persecution, or hardly any persecution. There is freedom of speech. I can say what I want to say. But friends, what would happen one day if persecution does come our way? I ask myself, will I be bold enough to stand behind this pulpit here to speak the way I'm speaking to you today? So boldly confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust by the grace of God that I will be bold enough on that day to preach the way I'm preaching today. And I trust you will be bold enough to confess the Lord Jesus Christ on that day. Now, do you know that our church in Singapore, Mother Church, was once under ISD surveillance? You know what's ISD? Internal Security Department in Singapore. The ISD is the department in Singapore that handles the secret service in Singapore. Right? It manages the security in Singapore. And our senior pastor was hauled up by the ISD no less than 4 times to have friendly chats. They call them friendly chats. Actually, they were interrogating him. You see, if we have open enemies in the church, it's very easy for us to identify. If enemies from outside were to stir up persecution against us, it's very easy for us to identify them. But we can have secret enemies. Enemies could be planted into our midst and we do not know who they are. And the enemies that we had in those days apparently were secret enemies. You see, when senior pastor went to the ISD and he was interrogated by means of friendly chats, the officers could actually quote ad verbatim what he said from the pulpit. Now in those days, the messages were all not posted on the net. So who could hear those messages except those people who were present in the congregation? And the ISD officers could quote ad verbatim what our senior pastor said. Now actually our senior pastor in those days was speaking the truth. He was warning the churches in Singapore against going the way of Rome. And for that he was hauled up by the ISD. Because Singapore is very, very particular about religious harmony. You cannot do anything that will break that harmony. So because of that fear, he was asked to go to the ISD for those interviews. Friends, I ask you, is it far-fetched that someday churches that speak the truth of God might be persecuted? Is it far-fetched? No, my dear friends. We must understand this truth. We are today living in the last of the last days. If our church should ever be persecuted, we must expect it to happen. And perhaps on that day, we in the church will have the genuineness of our faith tested. On that day, will all of us be able to say to the Lord in His face and say this to Him, Lord, I will be in this world what You want me to be. Lord, I will do and I will say what You want me to do and what you want me to say. And if persecution should come my way, Lord, so be it. Will we be able to say that on that day? Hard question to answer, right? But I trust, my dear friends, on that day, all of us will be faithful enough to the Lord and say those words that I've just said. Now another reason for our persecution is so that we might become partakers of His holiness. As children of God, we will be chastised. Yes, God will chastise us. He loves us, that's why He chastises us. And the rod of chastisement can sometimes come in the form of persecution. Yes, that can happen. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 10. I'd like us to turn to this verse. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10. For they, the they here refers to our earthly fathers, for they truly for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He, meaning our God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. So we might be chastened, we might be persecuted, so that we might become partakers of God's holiness. Now the sixth beatitude talks about being pure in heart, so that we will be able to see God. We need to be purified, right? And it's true, the Word of God purifies us. There's one instrument for purification. And the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ purifies us, another instrument for purification. And we also know that the fire of the Holy Spirit also purifies us. That is another instrument for purification. Now another instrument for purification is persecution, so that we might become partakers of His holiness. Now, do you know why the underground church in China is flourishing? Do you know why? Now it is flourishing because of persecution. The more the church is persecuted, the more there are partakers of the Lord's holiness. as the church is persecuted, there are more and more people who become partakers of God's holiness. So friends, why are we persecuted? Number one, because it is God's appointment that we be persecuted. Number two, we are persecuted because we are his followers. Yes, and the third reason as to why we are persecuted is to see what kind of stuff, spiritual stuff, we are made of, whether our faith is genuine or not. And the fourth reason as to why we are persecuted is so that we become partakers of his holiness. Now, the next question is, what types of persecution make a man blessed? What types? Now, perhaps we should ask this question first of all. What type of persecution does not make a man blessed? What type of persecution does not make a man blessed? Now, one type of persecution that does not bless a man is the type that is caused by pulling the cross upon ourselves, by pulling the persecution upon ourselves. Now, what do I mean by it? It simply means this. Yes, when we pull the cross upon ourselves, we are actually asking for it. We are asking for persecution. Now, in those days, in ancient times, there were those who asked to be martyred. They wanted to be martyred. They each to be martyred. They wanted to be martyrs. But you know what God's laws tell us? God's laws require us to preserve our lives as much as possible. Did you realize that? Yes, thou shalt not kill, remember that? So we are supposed to preserve our lives as much as possible. Yes. So we must be prudent. We must be discreet. Yes. And we must be as wise as serpents, and we must as gentle as doves. Alright, so let's not ask for persecution. So tomorrow, don't go into the office and say, yeah, yesterday we heard this message, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness, say, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yes, I better be persecuted, so that I will be sure of heaven. So you go into the office and you start shouting at everybody and say, you are a sinner. You're going to hell. Yes, you better repent. You better trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you don't, that's the end of you. My dear friends, if you did that, are you not asking for persecution? I'm sure you would be. Let's remember this. Let's never cast pearls among swine. Alright? The gospel is precious pearls. Let's not cast pearls among swine. Let's remember this truth. Let us be very, very wise, discreet in the way we hand out the gospel. Now, another type of persecution that does not bless a man is the type that comes upon us because of our offenses. Now, what do I mean by that? Years ago in Singapore, I used to know of young people, schoolgoers, who came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, or so they professed to say that they had professed to have done. And they became very zealous in the church, they became very, very zealous in the fellowship work. But they were guilty of one thing, they were neglecting their studies. Now, if you are a student, and if God has called you to be a student, if you are studying, it means he has called you to be a student, what must you do? You be the best student that you can be, and that's God's will for you. Don't forget that. And these young people were neglecting their studies, and they were going home late. So naturally, that kind of misbehavior would attract the rebukes from their parents. The parents were very angry with them. They complained to the church, and they were they scolded their children, rebuked their children. And you know what the children said? Our parents persecuted us. Come on, friends. They were rightfully punished. They were not persecuted, rightfully punished. They deserve the punishment. Then, so that kind of persecution does not bring blessing to a person. Then I remember one time in our company, there was this colleague of mine who professed to be a believer, but he was well noted for his tardiness and well noted for his absenteeism. And so his supervisors, of course, didn't like him, and they became very prejudiced against him. And then he started going around telling everybody, my supervisors are all very prejudiced against me because I'm a Christian. No, my dear friends, he deserved that prejudice. he was not bearing a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was persecuted because he was offending the rules and the expectation required of him in the company. So that kind of persecution is not going to bless a person. Now, what persecutions will bless a man? There are persecutions that are suffered for the sake of righteousness. That is the kind of persecution that will bless a man. There are persecutions that are suffered for the truth. You remember Daniel's three friends? They refused to bow down to the 9-story golden image that was erected by King Nebuchadnezzar, as a result of which they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And of course they were blessed. The Lord Jesus Christ was with them in that fiery furnace. Now you remember another kind of persecution. Also a persecution that that hero of the faith suffered for the sake of righteousness. Remember Daniel. Daniel preferred to be fed to the lions rather than to stop worshipping the one true living God. Remember that? Now that kind of persecution that came upon him was persecution suffered for the sake of righteousness. And our Lord's disciples all suffered persecution for the sake of righteousness. Tradition has it that many of them were martyred. And the Apostle Paul himself was, of course, martyred. All these suffered for the sake of righteousness. Friends, I ask you, have we ever suffered for the sake of righteousness? Have we ever suffered because we confess Christ? And have we ever suffered because we must tell the truth? Yes, particularly in the office. Have there been times when people dubbed us as being stupid and dumb because we told the truth? Have there been times? Yes, I'm sure there must have been times when you told the truth and your colleagues all turned to you and said, "You're dumb, you're stupid, why did you do such a thing?" But friends, remember what the Lord says. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, the persecutions will be a great blessing to us if we suffer with patience, we suffer with cheerfulness, and we suffer with courage. What glory and honor do we bring to the Lord if we suffer with impatience? What glory do we bring to Him? No glory. What glory do we and honor do we bring to the Lord if we, when we are persecuted, we complain, we grumble? What glory do we bring to Him? No glory at all. And what glory and honor do we bring to the Lord when we are persecuted? We become very, very timid, we cave in, and then we go along and we compromise. My dear friends, those kinds of persecutions will not bring blessings to us. But you look at the kind of persecutions and sufferings the great Apostle Paul went through. I'd like us to turn to 2 Corinthians, that very familiar passage. I'd like us to read the kind of persecutions and sufferings that he went through. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 28. Paul says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more." He was actually comparing himself with the other apostles because the Christians in Corinth had a low opinion of him. They didn't think that he was of the same level as the other apostles. And so he says, verse 23, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often." 24. "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." In other words, he was whipped 39 times, with 39 strokes. And that kind of punishment he received, what? 5 times. Then verse 25. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." 27. "In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Here was one who suffered with great patience. Look at the whole list of sufferings that he went through. He suffered with patience, for Paul often talked about his Christian race as a long distance race. Not a short distance sprint, but a long distance race. And a long distance race, of course, has to be run with patience. So he suffered with patience. And here was one who suffered with courage. Nothing and nothing could stop him from preaching. Remember, there was a time when he was in this place called Lystra, where he was stoned till he nearly died. In fact, people thought he had died. But he got up. And what did he do? Stop preaching? No, my dear friends, he continued to preach. Nothing and nothing could stop him from preaching. And then, when he suffered with cheerfulness. You remember the time when he was in prison in the city of Philippi, after he was beaten very, very severely. Together with his missionary partner, Silas, they were imprisoned. And then at midnight, what did they do? They were actually feeling very, very painful. But what did they do? They suffered with cheerfulness. They sang praises unto the Lord. Now, did they bring honor and glory to the Lord? Of course they did. Yes. And then while he was in prison in Rome, he wrote to the church in Philippi. In prison, mind you, he said to them, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." Here was one who was suffering, and he wrote to people outside prison and said, "Rejoice. Rejoice. And again I say rejoice." Now, was his persecution a great blessing to him? What do you think? Of course, it was a God. His persecutions were a great blessing to him. They were. Of course. He was given the great privilege to write at least 13 books in the Bible. Did you realize that? 13 letters were written by the great Apostle Paul. And of the 13, you want to guess how many letters were written from prison? How many? 5. You see? So was he not a blessed man? Of course he was. Friends, if ever we are persecuted, think of the persecutions that the great Apostle Paul went through. Think of the sufferings that he went through. So today I would like to urge you, when you go home, read through this whole list of persecutions that he went through again. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 28. Will you remember that? Go home and read that whole list. All right. So the next question is, what should our posture be in regards to persecution? What should our posture be? How should we respond when we are persecuted? The Lord says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Now, to rejoice is to say it mildly. What it really means is, we must be really glad when we are persecuted. And to make sure that we understand what he means, the Lord adds these words. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. In other words, literally it means jump for joy. Can you imagine that? You are persecuted and then you jump for joy. But that's what the Lord says. And he says, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And when the Lord says great, let us believe that it is really great. Great is your reward, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And this reward, it's not an earthly reward, but a heavenly reward. A reward that is spoken of by the great Apostle Paul. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, I'd like us to turn to that verse. That is the reward that Paul was looking forward to. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Okay, let's read that verse together. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also that his appearing, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So that reward, my dear friends, will be ours, not only for the great Apostle Paul, but it will be ours, the crown of righteousness. And he says in another place, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The afflictions that we suffer today, my dear friends, because of persecution, are nothing compared to the weight of glory that will be ours in the future. You put the two on the balance. Yes, the weight of glory will far, far outweigh the afflictions that we have today. In fact, they will be regarded as light in comparison to the glory that we will receive. So what is persecution? To persecute means to drive away, to pursue, to harass, to treat with evil words or with evil actions. And friends, we must be persecuted. We would be persecuted. And why would we be persecuted? Number one, because we have been appointed to be persecuted. It is by God's design that we will be persecuted. And we will be persecuted because we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, we might be persecuted simply because our faith needs to be tested to find out what stuff, what spiritual stuff we are really made of. And we might be persecuted so that we will become partakers of God's holiness. Then the type of persecution that blesses a man is the type that is suffered for the sake of righteousness. You don't pull persecution down to yourself. But you suffer for the sake of righteousness, my dear friends, you will be blessed. And how should we respond to persecution? The Lord says what? Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the 8 Beatitudes that we have studied in the course of the last 2 or 3 months. Lord, we thank you for the truth that you have taught us. Teach us, O Lord God, to be very grateful to you for the blessings that we have received through the learning of your truth. And Lord, we pray that you will give us that special grace so that when we are persecuted, we may not feel surprised, but we may be able to thank you and then be able to rejoice with exceeding gladness because we have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And in the coming months when we are going to do the 30 in 30, we pray that all of us here who are minded to give the gospel out may realize that we might be creating spiritual waves, as a result of which we might be persecuted. But Lord, we pray that we may have that wonderful grace from you to be strong in you so that we will not cave in, but that we will be able to bear a good witness for you. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.